Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBSSports and use the offer code FUN, F-U-N. Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, the trade deadline has come, it is gone, and it's kind of a whimper, isn't it?
Yeah, it really, really was. Just a miserable, and I'm of the opinion the NBA needs to do something. Like, I'm dead serious, I think the NBA should do something about it. Like, this is a time when they can grab the headlines. Football's over, right? There's no baseball yet. This is your time. Grab the headlines. And the deadline used to be like, oh, massive trades, big sports center. And now, like, women's hockey and football is going to lead sports center or whatever, you know, or CBS Sports Network tonight. Like, that's what's going to lead, you know?
Right. It did. It was kind of funny how there were jokes about, oh, women's hockey is, you know, outperforming the trade deadline. I was like, oh, not really. And then I actually turned the game on. I was like, oh, this is a lot more interesting. This really is grabbing my attention. And it got so bad the last hour of the trade deadline, I started watching The Incredible Burt Wonderstone.
How was that experience for you?
I've got about 50 minutes left in the movie. I really hate myself for watching it. There aren't many movies where I know what I do and I know what I am and I've accepted it. But there are some movies where it does make me think, like, what is wrong with you? This is one of those movies. It's just atrocious. It's really bad. You know what's not atrocious?
What?
Today's news and notes that are brought to you by Squarespace.com.
Ooh.
How about that?
True story.
I guess let's get into the trades that were made. Which, I mean, they're bountiful. I guess the first big one was Cavs got Spencer Hawes, Sixers get Earl Clark and two 2014 second-round picks. Which, I think right now, what do the Sixers have? 9 second-round picks in this year's draft?
9 second-round picks.
My God, what do you even do with those?
Well, I think I guess the idea is if you take, I guess theoretically, if the opportunity were to come available, you can trade, say, the Pelicans pick and 2 second-round picks and try and bump up like 2 spots.
Right.
Right. Like, if there's a guy that you want to get, you could theoretically do that.
Yeah, I guess that at a certain point, you just start grabbing every European player you can and stashing them, right?
Yeah, if you can't get anything for them, then you just sell them. That's what you do.
Yeah, and then is it at a certain point, like, you could, like, at 7 second-round picks, you can trade it in for, like, a giant panda bear? Is that how this works? Or you get, like, the squirt gun or something like that? Like, there's got to be some kind of exchange program.
It's like Settlers of Catan. You can just trade them in for ore or whatever. Yeah, you're building up more things.
This is the
it's like Monopoly. They get a house.
There we go. This is the second time you've dropped a Settlers on Catan thing. I still don't really know what it is. But Monopoly, I know.
I'm shocked that you haven't gone out
and bought the game.
And bought it just to understand my references. Oh, now I get what Matt's saying. It all becomes clear.
Oh, a fistful of myrrh for you, sir.
Sam Hinkie plays Settlers of Catan, I betcha. But he's awesome at it, too.
Fistful of Myrrh was actually my comedy troupe in college.
I would imagine it's Jean-Claude Van Damme's, like, Christmas special. A Fistful of Myrrh.
So you're not a huge Spencer Hawes guy. I'm not a huge Spencer Hawes guy. What did the Cavaliers... I'm also not an Earl Clark guy at all. Did the Cavs get better with this trade?
I don't think so.
Are they just different?
I guess I don't know. I mean, he stretches the floor for them.
He can pass.
Now, if they make the playoffs and they face the Nets, they have someone to not guard Kevin Garnett at 18 feet. So that's useful. I mean, the picks I don't mind. There was a big conversation this morning about the picks, and I'm kind of like, look, the Cavs are probably going to screw up the picks anyway. Like, well, part of it is also that what gets lost a lot of times is the fact that if you say a second rounder, picks 40 through, or picks 30 through 45 are a lot different than picks 45 through 60.
Right.
Like, picks 30 through 40 are like, these guys could have been first rounders. Picks 40 through 45 are, these guys would have been first rounders if it weren't for some sort of serious, like, risk issue, but they're worth taking a gamble on. Picks 45 through 60 are they real? Because I don't know if they're real.
I mean, here are the best second rounders out of this draft, this past draft class. And granted, it was a weak draft class. But here are the best ones. Nate Walters, Ricky Lito, who I love, Jeff Withey, Glenn Rice, Isaiah Cannon, Ryan Kelly. Is anyone going to confuse them for Chandler Parsons?
We can add up like all of their minutes together.
I mean, some of those guys could turn into fine rotation players. I actually do like some of those guys, but
Cannon, right. I said the same thing about Cannon after the draft. I remember talking about this. I was saying they're going to put him in the D League. He's going to kill in the D League. He's going to come into the league the year after, and he's going to destroy people. And people either went one of two ways. They're like, no, he's too small, he can't play. Or they said, well, no, he's going to be like the backup guard. And I was like, no, more will add a veteran. Then they added Aaron Brooks, who's now going to Denver. But like now they can bring up Cannon now, and he can help him. He can help him right now.
Yeah, I love his shooting stroke. He can just flat out shoot the ball. I'm not sure about him as a point guard, but I know he can shoot.
I don't get to talk about this very often, but it's for those of you that don't know, RGV, the Rockets D-League development team, they are on the same system Mikhail does. They do the same practices.
Yep.
They do the same sets. They do the same they teach the same principles. They run the same offense. They have the same volume of threes. It's the exact same team at the D-League level. He's getting the exact same experience at the D-League level, just with lesser players so that he can have more confidence. It's a perfect transition. It's why almost every player that the Rockets send down to RGV and comes back up is markedly better when they get back. Again, they know how to use a D-League. It works. Terrence Jones got better down there. Aaron Brooks went down, and that's why he became an NBA player. He spent time in the D-League and got better at the things they really struggled at. There's so many guys that really improved down there.
Yeah. No, it's if you know how to use the D-League, it's a very useful tool.
Yeah, which is weird. You know, the Cavs have it; they just don't use it.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, so I don't mind. I don't mind them sending the picks. And Earl Clark was like, when you get Deng, right? Like, Deng's like a five times Earl Clark,
right?
Smaller, but still,
right?
You know, and as far as power forward, like all of your minutes are going to Varejao,
Thompson,
and Tristan,
yeah,
and Bennett. And Bennett's getting good now.
Yeah,
so,
and by good you mean he's in shape, so he's no longer terrible because of that.
Exactly. it's no longer like watching the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man trying to run on a treadmill. Yeah.
Right. I guess we should talk about the big trade, which also involves the Sixers. Evan Turner, Lavoy Allen for Danny Granger and a future second round pick.
Can we start this off by saying I'm livid with the rest of the NBA? This is like one of those situations when there's some sort of turmoil and the rest of the developed countries in the world just let it happen. Why are you letting Thaddeus Young just sit there? What is wrong with you people? Why did none of you go get Thaddeus Young?
First round pick. Nobody wants to give up a first round pick.
They didn't have to give up a first round pick.
No, I think for Young, you absolutely do. Because there's no reason to trade him now. There's no pressure for Philly to trade. There's pressure for Philly to trade Hawes and Turner because they were going to lose him for nothing. With Young, that dude is the number one trade target draft night. Like, that's who you dangle to move up.
Ugh. Terrible.
It would be nice if somebody rescued him, but there was no need for Philly to be pressured into trading.
Well, here's one. Why didn't the Suns send, like, the Pacers pick?
Is that enough, though? I mean, people have talked about that. I talked about that, actually, in New Orleans with quite a few people of that kind of, oh, you can just move your second pick. And it's like, all right, you can. That's a valid point. But I don't know that that's enough to give. Like, would you rather have Young and whatever else he might be able to bring in on draft night? Or do you want the 29th pick in the first round? Which can be a fine player. But I think that's selling low on Young.
What about the Bobcats? Because they could have offered like the Pistons and then like McBob.
Now that's a much better deal. That
someone could have saved him is all I'm saying. And now I just feel so bad for the guy. I hate that he's the one that gets stuck. Like Spencer Hawes gets out, he gets stuck.
There's no
justice in this world.
At a certain point, I kind of want them to give Thaddeus Young the Taken treatment. And by that, I mean he becomes one of the girls that gets kidnapped and drugged while they're forced into prostitution. Like, as long as they drug him right now so he doesn't have to realize, like, he's not really with it for what he's doing, I'm okay with it.
This got dark. This got dark in a hurry.
For Indiana, it's obviously a no-brainer. Granger is not giving you anything this year. He wasn't going to give you anything the rest of the year. Maybe he has like that one Brandon Roy playoff moment. But I saw him last night, and granted, it was a back-to-back. I don't know if he played the night before. But there are times where they just put Alexei Shved on him, and nothing happened. It's like, Alexei Shved is, I don't know, he's like a 4 out of 10 on defense, I would say. Like, he's not horrendous, but he's not good. And the fact that they put him on Danny Granger a couple of times, and Granger didn't get the ball and didn't go after it, you know, like, what does that tell you?
Well, I would actually argue that last night's a bad example, because I'm pretty sure the Pacers were hammered on Tuesday night. That team played awful last night. It was shocking.
It was
how
really
terrible
bad.
They were.
Paul George was great, and everybody else was just horrendous.
They were so bad in so many areas. You know, I've seen Granger have some bad moments, but then if you look at the overall numbers, it's just a train wreck. It's just terrible.
Yeah, it's really bad. So the Pacers didn't give up anything, and immediately people go to, well, look at what they did for Lance Stephenson. What could they do with Evan Turner's talent? It's not like a week from now they're going to develop him fully, right? It's not an instant. Maybe it is an instant thing. I don't know what kind of voodoo they have in Indiana, but
he goes into some cryo chamber and comes out.
He's not a universal soldier.
Oh my God, he's Dwayne Wade now.
Now, if they end up losing Lance Stephenson in free agency, keeping Evan Turner instead and developing him, then that could be a great move.
Yeah, it gives you, I mean, you're big on this, right? Like, it gives them options.
Yeah, I love, you know me, I love options. And they have an option. They don't feel, there's no reason to feel pressure now into keeping Lance Stephenson, because Turner and Stephenson are kind of the same player, stylistically.
And then, you know, and if Stephenson's like, oh, I want to come back, I'm going to only come back at 4 years, 40. You do that deal, and you're like, yep, you know?
Yeah.
And then go get yourself a deal, we'll sign and trade you. Done.
Yeah, they got options. I love options.
So I think it works out great for them. And I'm just really annoyed at this, like, whole Evan Turner sucks thing, because he's just putting up stats on a bad team. And I'm like, look, being the best player on a bad team, translate being the best player on a bad team to playing 10 minutes as a bench player. Like, his value above replacement player at his role level is exceptionally high.
Definitely. I mean, the problem is he still can't shoot. But he can score. Sure, it takes a decent volume of shots to get him to score a lot of points. But he can score, he can rebound, he can pass. He's a decent defender. Like, you throw him in the Pacer system, give him a month to acclimate to it, and, you know, he gets to go for the stretch run into the playoffs. And every, like, I don't know, 18, 20 minutes of Evan Turner in that system, I would take that.
And then I looked it up. He's shooting 55% on unguarded jump shots this year.
Okay.
Via Synergy. And that's not like a wow number. Like, you're supposed to hit unguarded jump shots. You're in the NBA. But I just look at it as, if Paul George is driving and kicking, or they're running the pick and roll game and they kick it to West, and then the defender helps off, all Turner's got to do is catch and shoot or cut to the basket.
Right.
Like, it puts him in a really good position to succeed.
Yeah, and – yeah, 55% isn't an eye-popping number, but for me, honestly, as long as you're above 50%, I feel good about it.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's terrific. I'm saying he's decent. And then, again, for me, it's mostly a matter of, it's like an upgrade over what they have now, you know?
Yeah. Oh, like, for sure.
He's basically taking, what, Solomon Hill's minutes?
Yeah, I'm trying to see what their minute distribution is. They're basically... Yeah, I mean, Granger was getting 22 a game.
Right. And some of that was at power forward.
Yeah, some of that was at power forward. I mean, Copeland's getting 5. He's done nothing. You know, Orlando Johnson gets 9. Solomon Hill gets 8. Like, yeah, you're essentially taking. I mean, you can mold all those garbage time minutes plus Granger's minutes in and give him 20 to 25 minutes.
Yeah. If the Sixers buy him out, where should Granger go?
That's a good question. Not the East. Nobody. He shouldn't go to the East unless he wants to go to Miami, which I guess they now have a roster spot after the Roger Mason trade.
He goes to Miami, and then they have their Rashard Lewis of the future.
Sure. Yeah, he does. He does kind of play like a 45-year-old Rashard Lewis. No, I would say go to. What about the Spurs?
Be good.
I wouldn't mind that. I mean, he's not going to – I don't think he's going to do much, but
– He can battle Austin Day for a minute.
Oh, God. Yeah, they traded what? Nando DeColo?
Yeah, which I do take a certain amount of pleasure in just because Spurs fans are always like, I'm telling you, Nando, when he gets some time.
Hey, those Patty Mills games, the last 5-6 games, he's been on fire.
Buried him. Yep, that was it. That was it for Nando.
That was it.
He'll be back in France within a year. That's maybe the biggest bummer for me at the deadline is nobody went and got Pierre Jackson. So now Jackson's going to Istanbul.
Yeah, signed with Fenerbahce. Is that how you say it?
I have no idea.
Okay, I know he's in Turkey. That much I know. The Bobcats get Gary Neal and Luke Ridenour.
That was a weird deal.
For Ramon Sessions and Jeff Adrian. I mean, it seems like Ridenour got thrown in because Herb Cole didn't want to take on any money. Even though he would have been saving money if it was just a straight-up swap. Like, he pays more this year, but next year he wouldn't have $3.25 million to give to Gary Neal. Right. And Sessions is expiring, but whatever. Like, they ended up saving more money by not but having to pay
Neal. I also don't get the fact that it was like that, where it was like, well, you got to take Luke Ridenour. And I'm kind of like, I would take Luke Ridenour over Ramon Sessions right now.
Yeah, if anything, I would – I mean, if it were me and they're like – you have to take Luke Ridenour, I would ask, well, do I still have to take Gary Neal?
Exactly. You know? But, Neal earns his money.
He does. Just ask Larry Sanders. That's a nice deal for the Bobcats, though.
Yeah. I mean, I think any time that you have the opportunity to pair Gary Neal with Ben Gordon in the backcourt during off the bench, you have to go for it.
Well, Ben Gordon's not exactly, how do you say this, conscious anymore.
See, another guy. Why didn't you move Ben Gordon? I know that the thing is like, well, who's going to take him? Like, who's going to offer? But it's just like, if everyone has trash that they want to move, there should have been some, like, I would rather trade my trash for other trash to see if their trash works better in my system than keep my trash just because.
Yeah, you can't honestly tell me that you couldn't have moved Ben Gordon to the Sixers for a second round pick. Or with a second round pick for whatever, Jason Richardson.
Yeah, and see, that's another one where you could have done Ben Gordon, the Pistons pick, and then whatever else for Evan Turner.
Yeah,
and that would have really helped them.
Yeah,
like I didn't understand why this became a thing where it's like the Bobcats are hot to trot for Gary Neal. What?
Michael Jordan saw one game from the playoff run last year. It was like, oh, remind me to get that guy at the trade deadline. And today Charles Oakley woke him up and was like, hey, don't forget to get Gary Neal.
It was just – I mean, you know, it was one of those moves where I was like, I thought we were past this, Bobcats. Like, raise your standards. You're a playoff team now. You don't have to be the kind of team that's like, oh, no, we got to really work hard to get Gary Neal.
Wouldn't Apple – wouldn't the iPhone be so much better if Siri was Charles Oakley?
It would be.
Like, iPhone, knock that guy out for me.
My wife asked me last night, she's like, hey, do you have a minute? And I was like, yeah. She's like, why did Michael Jordan get married? Which I was like, okay, it's an odd question to come downstairs and ask me. And then two, she was like, well, it's interesting because, you know, he got divorced and he's older and he's obviously likes to party. And I was, you know, we were talking and she was like, is it just a companionship? And I said, well, no, he's got Oak. So doesn't really need it as much. He's already married to Oak in many ways.
Right. What else happened? Andre Miller is a Wizard.
Finally,
he is gone. Jan Vesely to the Nuggets. Sixers get 2 second-round picks and Eric Maynor. That
Tim
was
a... Connelly, in his comments to the Denver Post or at a presser that apparently I didn't get an email for or whatever, I think it was the Post, said, you know, it's not every day that you get an opportunity to pick up the sixth pick in the draft. We got to stop using this stuff, guys.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir. When Derek Williams was going to be traded, people freaked out. They're like, that's the number two pick in the draft. They're like, that doesn't matter anymore. It really doesn't matter where a guy gets drafted. It just matters how he plays in the NBA.
You know? It'd be like if I was applying to grad school talking about how I was as an undergrad student. Like, right. Never mind that 2.5 GPA in college.
Yeah, never mind
the fact that I had to take stats twice. Don't forget that part.
Never mind my GPA in college. I was accepted to college.
I was in like 4 AP classes in Arkansas. Let's go. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm excited for the Vesely experience. There's going to be lineups of Jan Vesely and Timofey Mozgov, J.J. Hickson and Jan Vesely, Kenneth Faried and Jan Vesely.
Yeah.
This will be amazing. But the Wizards is great. It's perfect for them.
Oh, it's a perfect move. They gave up nothing.
Yeah.
They really gave up nothing. I did like that Kendall Marshall tweeted something like, oh, the irony or something along those lines. Because he was let go from the Wizards this offseason so that they could keep Eric Maynor.
To a degree, I understand that, but I also kind of want to be like, you realize Andre Miller is like way better than you, right?
Right.
Like,
no, that's completely true. It just I like players getting publicly annoyed like that.
Yeah, there's getting to be more and more of it. So I like how Eric Maynor found out he was traded by through Dime Magazine.
Sure.
Just retweeted Dime Magazine with an exclamation mark. Yeah, I gotta say that, you know, I'm sure all the GMs are listening to our podcast, but just if any of you do know GMs, you can pass along this word. Call your guys before you let the stuff get leaked.
Really? Yeah.
So rude.
It's not great. It's not a great look.
Like, don't let never let the press find out that you're fired, been traded, whatever. Like, don't. That's just not okay. Don't do that.
For the Wizards, though, I mean, their bench looks a lot better now, for sure. Miller's going to play, and he's going to be really good, right? I mean, in that role, I mean.
Yeah, you know, you'll get the, Andre Miller, I'm trying to think of who's their backup too. Like, Andre Miller, Martell Webster, Trevor Ariza lineups, they'll be, you know, I mean, Miller's going to do the same stuff he did in Denver, and he doesn't play defense. But it's value over replacement player.
Right.
Like, all they needed was somebody to come in and run the offense, and he'll take some bad isolation shots. The best part of this really is going to be the first time that Michael Lee of the Washington Post talks to Miller, because Miller is just going to go off.
He is going to unleash.
Everyone is getting thrown under the bus. Everybody. Like, George Karl loved him, played him, gave him too many minutes. George Karl is going under the bus. Masai Ujiri, you know, liked him, traded for him, gave him, re-signed him, wanted him to be a big part of the team. Masai's going under the bus. Tim Connelly, under the bus. Brian Shaw, all the way under the bus.
I think we should both submit to the editors right now a request for travel to this press conference and say, we don't need a travel per diem, we just need popcorn. I just want popcorn and 3D glasses.
I'm excited for, you know, old man game in the playoffs. It'll be good to have him back on the court.
Yeah.
So I think it's good. The Jordan Hamilton, Aaron Brooks trade did not make any sense to me whatsoever for Denver.
Yeah, for Denver. Well, I guess they need a guard.
I mean, Jordan Hamilton was driving Brian Shaw nuts, but it's also like, well, if we're going to go down that road, then why didn't you trade everyone?
Right.
Somebody pointed out that Jeffrey Morton from DenverStiffs.com pointed out that guess who the tallest Nugget point guard is now?
It's got to be Brooks, right?
It's Ty? Ty's the tallest one.
Jesus.
Like, this is what I don't get, is Shaw hates small guards. Hates them. He, first day, he talked about how whenever he played, if there was a small point guard, he would let him know, I'm coming right at you in the post. I'm going to post you up all day.
Yeah. That was also back in the day when you could post up a guy for, you know, 22 seconds of a shot clock.
Right. So I just – I don't really get why they made that move. For Houston, it's fine. Like we talked about Cannon. Hamilton is – I actually kind of like Hamilton's – I definitely like Hamilton's upside more than Caspi.
Yeah, I agree with that. I like Hamilton. I think, you know, maybe if they can do this, throw him in the D-League and just start developing.
You know, I mean, the Rockets, what they do is they just they take materials, and it's really easy for them to create good players. You know what that's a lot like?
It kind of feels like if I were going to create a website.
Right, and you want it to be really easy.
Yeah, I need it to be easy because, all right, I do work on the internet, but I'm not the most technical person in the world. And so I need some things. I just need an easy interface. Maybe like.
And that reminds me, today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, where you can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio.
It's the great thing about it is the platform, new features, new designs, the support system. Like, it's always improving.
And much like the Rockets with their training staff. They've got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week help for you. You can get support at any time. They've got over 100 Squarespace employees, and they're all in the customer care team. It's based in New York City, so it's local. You can get a hold of them. And, you know, the city never sleeps, so obviously they're still up, right? That's how that works.
Exactly.
And their office has been nicknamed the Care Bear Lair.
The Care Bear Lair. It doesn't get any better than that. I mean, they're always trying to improve, unlike most of the teams at the trade deadline, which didn't try to improve anything.
You know, it's weird, though, with the Care Bear Lair. I didn't know that they were working out of Ricky Rubio's room.
It's odd that he – does that mean he's going to the Knicks? Because it is based in New York. That's weird. And here's the great thing about it. If you're going to use Squarespace.com, you don't have to give them a second-round pick. It starts at just $8 a month and includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year.
Yeah, and I will tell you, all jokes aside, I'm being dead serious. I've done site redesigns. I've done hosting stuff. Getting the domain and site and support for eight bucks a month, that's an incredible deal. That really is high
really
quality.
Good. I know when I started Cowbell Kingdom, I think I was paying like, I don't know, like $180 a year initially, which is a lot more than $8 a month.
And now, like, every design, it automatically includes, like, the mobile experience so that you can get on the iPad and the iPhone and the Sprint phone and the Windows phone and the Bat phone and all this other stuff. And, it, you know, it's going to match the overall style of your website. So it's not going to be one of those things where it's completely different. And that's a big deal because, you know, websites, they all have kind of their own style now. And I think that's really important for you to be able to match it up. And because I get a lot of complaints about Paroxysm over the years about what it looks like on mobile. So that's huge that Squarespace offers that.
Absolutely. You start a free trial with no credit card required. Start building your website today. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code FUN, that's F-U-N, to get 10% off and show your support for the Ion Basketball Podcast. We thank Squarespace for the support of the Ion Basketball Podcast. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website.
We're so good at that.
It feels natural.
It's like we were meant to shill for this company.
I was. I wish I could say what our predator Sergio said about me. That basically just said they wouldn't have to worry about me selling things.
He just, you know, all he said that you had feminine qualities of a later day part of the day. That's all.
Yeah, if you will.
Well, now there you go. Just went ahead and tried. I tried to gussy it up behind some language, and you just went ahead and spat it out there. Which is okay, because it's still an upgrade over earlier, where you were likening Evan Turner to getting sold into exploitation.
No! Thaddeus Young!
Thaddeus Young.
Yeah, I would never say that about Evan Turner.
Okay, what other crappy trades happened?
I feel like that's it. Oh,
Blake! We didn't talk about Blake.
Oh yeah, Steve Blake got traded last night.
Is it bad that I'm mostly happy that Kent Bazemore's on the Warriors?
Oh.
I just don't like the bench guys that don't do anything and then celebrate and freak out like they were actually part of it. It bugged me, and it's nothing. It's actually not anything about them. Like, it's fine that they do it. It's just Nate Robinson drove me so insane in the 2011 playoffs versus the Grizzlies that I can't get past it now.
Yeah, no, I get that. I would say, like, I do like that they're at least burning some calories. Like, it's not like they can check themselves into the game. So if you're gonna do that, you know, you pump up the crowd a little bit, the fans get into it. Like, I get it. That Bazemore doesn't bother me. Nate Robinson drove me crazy with it. Bazemore doesn't bother me for some reason. I am excited about him and Robert Sacre being on the same team, though.
Who else did they sign? It was Bazemore and...
Bazemore and Marshawn Brooks.
That's right.
How much longer do you think Marshawn Brooks is in this league?
I'm just waiting for him to hit that Dwayne Wade level that all the Nets fans are telling me that he was. I'm dead serious. And Devin, I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out right now, Devin.
Shots fired.
Devin's going to deny this and be like, that's not what I said at all, because he always does that. No. I got Dwayne Wade comparisons for Marshawn Brooks second half of his rookie season. And I said, well, maybe not. And they freaked out.
What's worse, that or the fact that I got LeBron James comparisons for Terrence Williams when he had that like final month of his rookie season where he's like got a triple-double?
Oh, man.
That was also fun. Although I will say this, they were never happy about Travis Outlaw.
I'm really excited about the Bazemore Swaggy P.
Oh, the Instagram game is going to be hot.
Who else did they sign? Marshawn. So they go small.
Yeah.
So Bazemore, Marshawn, Nick Young, who's a four for the Lakers?
Ryan Kelly. Yes.
Robert Sacre. That's the lineup I want.
No, it's an atrocious lineup, but that's not a bad lineup in terms of entertainment value. I could get into that.
I gotta tell you, I was I enjoyed Dwight last night.
I honestly didn't get to see any of it.
It was fun.
I saw the video on the plane afterwards. That was kind of fun.
It was fun. Like the first three plays were just because they started out and they put Sacre on him, and then immediately D'Antoni's like, nope, that ain't gonna work, Kamen. And then he spun baseline on Kamen and dunked it, and it was just like. And then D'Antoni was like, "Well, Dwight's going for 40 tonight."
I love that the Rockets put out a video. I think it was an Instagram video of a Dwight dunk where he like throws it off the law or off the bounce. He taps it against the glass, catches it with the other hand, and dunks it. And then like Chandler Parsons is standing there like completely dumbfounded by what Dwight just did after a practice. But the Rockets promoted it as. Watch this crazy Dwight dunk as a shirtless Chandler Parsons is like in awe or something like that.
Right?
It was just shirtless Chandler Parsons, everybody. Come check it out.
It's like, check out this deep moving performance piece. Oh, and Allison Breeze wearing a nightgown.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's like The Fighter where it's like, check out Academy Award nominated film, The Fighter. Also starring Amy Adams in one of the most amazing outfits you will ever see.
She's crazy. I don't like her at all. She terrifies me.
She's wonderful. She's incredible.
She's terrifying.
She should have won for the Master. I hope. I really hope she wins this year.
I think she would eat your face.
And she was the best part of American Hustle. She stole that movie from Christian Bale, Bradley Cooper, and she even took it from Jennifer Lawrence, which I thought was impossible because when Jennifer's on screen, I'm glued to her.
Yeah,
but
Christian Bale's a really good actor when he's not playing Batman.
Yeah,
he's really good when he doesn't do that.
Yeah.
In actual basketball news, love this trade for the Warriors. They gave up nothing. They get an actual backup point guard as long as Steve Blake's healthy, which is going to be tricky. And they're not over the luxury tax.
I think it'll be interesting to watch this one from the perspective of Blake was good, not great, and then he went to the Lakers and he was not great at all, and then he got under D'Antoni and he was really good, like most point guards are. Hi, right. Kendall Marshall. And now he's going to the Warriors, but I was also like, yeah, but he's going to the Warriors, which is just as free of a system as D'Antoni's. It's not like Mark Jackson's got a whole lot of – it's not Mark Jackson's much more of a stickler for shot selection.
Right. Right? Right, yeah. I mean, the offense is more boring, but it's still free-flowing.
Yeah. Although I was surprised. Somebody did a breakdown. I forget who. Somebody did a breakdown of how much the Warriors are in isolation. I was really kind of surprised.
Yeah.
They're in isolation a lot this year.
A lot.
So deadline's done. I guess before we move on from the deadline, I still think this is the CBA that causes it to be down.
I completely agree. The CBA is restrictive. I don't think teams totally understand it. And it's caused them to go ultra conservative.
I had to explain to a few people because I said, you know, the value of expiring contracts is down. They're like, well, what makes you think that? And then the answer is It used to be if you had a guy that was at the end of a 4-year deal, you could move your guys that were at the that were in the middle of one of those 3 or 4 or 5 year deals, 6 year deals. You could move one of those guys and get them off of your books because you need to create, you need to basically have it be in sight where either this summer or next summer it was off. But under the new CBA, all of the deals now are 2 or 3, very rarely 4. If you're signing a guy to a 4-year deal, you want him. You want him pretty bad.
Yes.
And so most – I mean, look at the Mavericks. Most of their guys are on 2-year deals. The Mavericks don't have to make a move to clear space anymore because in 2 years, they got nothing on the books.
Yeah, you and I have talked about this. I don't think you can have a bad 2-year deal. You could sign a guy for 2 years, $40 million, and if he's not that good, I don't think it's a bad deal because – you get a year to try him out, and then he has an expiring contract after that. Like, it's a very low-risk maneuver.
Yeah. So all these teams are in that position now where they're not trying to move any sort of big contracts, and they've got the flexibility to be able to go out. Now, I do think it's a little bit flawed, and I think that maybe this is the snapback, is that everybody wanted flexibility, but at some point these teams are going to have to realize, and it needs to honestly be the Joe Dumars principle, to realize cap space is not always a good thing.
Right.
Like,
cap space is bad when you feel pressured to use it.
Yeah. The Pistons went out and spent a lot of money this summer, and they really thought that they brought in a good team. They did not at all, you know? And so having that cap space, like, free agency is really useful for adding small components when you already have a core in place, or if you're a big market team that wants to make gigantic splashes. I don't mind the Lakers clearing cap space. They can do that.
Right.
I don't mind the Knicks. I don't mind the Nets. I don't mind the Bulls. But everybody else is going to have to – you have to have a core built through the draft, and then you have to add – you can add on to it free agency. If you get a high-quality guy like David West, great. But there's no reason to put that cap space first and foremost above everything. I think a lot of teams made mistakes by not being more aggressive in deals because they were like, oh, we got to keep our cap space.
It'll be interesting to see how Utah – plays the next 2 summers because, you know, they've got a ton of flexibility, a ton of cap space now, and I find it odd that they didn't use part of it right away to lock up Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, it's you're not going to go sign Carmelo Anthony. Like, not that they maybe even want to, but, like, you're not going to go get that guy. You have to build through drafting well, extensions, having the flexibility through there, and then maybe being able to add a guy in a trade. Because you can absorb, you know, more money than you're giving out. And at a certain point, you know, having $30 to $40 million in cap space, it doesn't really do a whole lot for you. I do like that the Sixers, I don't know if they crept back over the floor with today's trades. I haven't looked at all those numbers yet. But I do like that they don't really seem concerned about hitting the floor because it just the money that doesn't get spent just gets divided up to your own players. I wonder if we're going to see that a lot more with these rebuilding teams.
The only thing I didn't know is I don't know if it affects their revenue payments. That was the one thing.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, I don't know about that either.
I thought that might affect the revenue sharing payments because it might be one of those where they built it in. So, okay, the guys that are really spending are going to give back to the guys that aren't, but you got to hit the floor.
Yeah, that's a good question.
You got to try.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I think part of my thing with the Jazz is Favors is going to be 23.
Right.
And then Hayward's going to be 24.
That sounds
March.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So those guys are not old. They've got years. Like, Favors can hit his stride when he's 25 and turn into a beast, and Hayward can develop between now and when he's 26 and be really good. But they're also not super young either. So that's kind of my thing is you got to do something with them pretty soon. Like, you can't draft your star rookie at 18 and wait for him to develop at 25.
Right.
Because in 7 years, neither of these guys is going to be here.
Right.
So I wasn't super – I mean, you know, like, I would have liked to have seen them either have traded Favors or Hayward. I would have liked to have seen them basically play the season out and not give him Favors the extension, instead play the season out, and whichever one had been bigger, re-sign them.
Yeah, I love Gordon Hayward. I would put him on any team I'm building, but he's not a guy you have to have necessarily, right?
Yeah, and I think you could have gotten good return on him in a deal.
Yeah, if you're not, I mean, I guess, okay, you go and see what the market is for him in restricted free agency, and then you control whatever, but that might have been one of those guys where a surprise, you know, availability on the trade market just floods you with good offers.
The Cavs, I think, really backed themselves into a corner by not moving Deng.
Yeah, but, I mean, I guess, all right, they wanted a first-round pick for him, right? Which is understandable. He's very good. And you kind of gave up a first-round pick, depending on what happens with the Kings in the next couple of years. At the same time, I get other teams not wanting to trade anything for him, knowing that he won't sign an extension.
I still come back to the Suns. I just keep coming back to them. And maybe they really just... Part of it is because I look at the Suns roster and I look at it and I keep going back to something that Gerald Green said in the postgame interview when they were in Denver, which is we got guys in this team who can play that can't play.
Right.
And that's obviously an exaggeration because he's just being nice to his teammates. Like Ish Smith I like, but probably, you know, that's a Aaron Brooks on the Rockets kind of guy,
right.
You know?
Right.
Like that's where he needs to be at. But like, and Barbosa, like he's not a long-term guy. But they've got, you know, Bledsoe, Dragic, Frye, Goodwin, who I think is still going to – has the potential to be okay, a rotation player at least. You know, Gerald Green, Alex Len, we still need to find out about. Both the Morris Tweens, Plumlee, Ish Smith, and P.J. Tucker.
Yeah.
They've got all of these draft picks. You're going to add all those guys. You're going to add all those guys, you know, as rookies. And then, like, I look at that and said, go, why not add Deng now? And then if you get – you know, when you get Bledsoe back, you've got – Dragic, Bledsoe, Deng, you know, Frye, Plumlee.
It's a nice lineup.
With Morris and P.J. Tucker and, you know, P.J. Tucker off the bench. That's like a huge above replacement player. And Gerald Green off the bench has been great, and he's been good as a starter too. Like, you could do some damage in the playoffs now.
Sure.
And still have lots of stuff for your future.
Sure.
But I get it from the perspective of if you think that you got to do something with Dragic and you got to pay Bledsoe, you don't want to bring on Deng. I get it from that perspective.
Interesting question just popped in my head. Well, not interesting, but I found it interesting. If you're the Suns, you have to feel pretty good about your ability to make the playoffs at this point, right? I mean, you're in the sixth seed. You're two games ahead of Memphis, who's the ninth. Do you drop games to Minnesota intentionally the rest of the year? Because if Minnesota gets the 14, it goes to you. What kind of tanking is that? Is that just like is that bulldozing? Is that a fighter jet? Is that a battleship? Are you battleshipping?
See, those are bigger than a tank, though. I think it's more like a.
Oh, you like
it's more like you're hummering.
Are you ATVing, dune buggying.
Dune buggying.
That's what you are. You're dune buggying.
Yeah, dune buggy those games. And actually, we should probably use that for every time that a team loses a game intentionally to try and get the playoff spot they want to.
Oh, yeah. Dune buggy.
That's dune buggying.
Yeah. Should we,
dune buggy job.
Should we go over games tonight?
Sure.
All right. Game of the night. Nuggets Bucks.
The Nuggets have 9 available players, and I still expect them to win by 12.
Hey, don't look now, but those Milwaukee Bucks got to 10 wins.
I ran into the Bucks PR guy, who's a very nice gentleman at All Star, and it was just like the look on his face, like his eyes, it was just hollow. It was just.
How do you spin that? There are only so many gifs of Giannis that you can use.
He was like, "Yeah, it's been a tough year." He actually did say, "He's like, thank goodness for Giannis." So.
Giannis is great.
It is 3.5. It was 3.5 when I picked. It's 4.5 now. I think the Nuggets, despite not having Ty Lawson or a point guard at all, I think they win this one easy.
I'm going to go with the Bucks to cover.
Woo!
I don't know why. They're in Milwaukee.
Zach's hopping on that Bucks train.
They won a game. I'm on. I've been waiting. Once they got to 10 wins, I was sold on.
You know, it actually would not shock me if they won this game. Denver really is that bad at this point.
Well, I just feel like Denver doesn't have any players on the team right now. Like, everyone's gone.
Yeah, but the thing is that the Spurs have that happen and they still win.
Right.
The Denver doesn't – I don't know that they like each other. They definitely don't like their coach. It's a rough situation right now.
What are the odds that Andre Miller buys a ticket to this game and goes to Milwaukee? Sits front row and just heckles the entire time.
You know old people, they don't like the cold.
That's true, they don't.
Like my dad, it's all he will talk about. He's just like, I hate the cold. It's all he talks about is the weather now. He's just like, too old for this. Gotta go south. I'm like, move, go. He lives in Arkansas, for God's sakes. Second biggest game of the night. I was kind of surprised at this line. It's moved up a little bit. I got it. I got Rockets are getting two on the road versus the Warriors in Oracle tonight. It's down to Warriors are giving a point and a half.
Warriors are giving a point and a half?
Yeah, they're favored.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I kind of like, well, all right, Rockets played last night, right?
They both played last night.
Oh, that's right. I guess I'll go with the home team on a back-to-back, but
The Warriors were in Sacramento where they struggled with the Kings until the fourth quarter. The Rockets didn't play their starters in the entire fourth quarter and only had to go from L.A. to San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, the Warriors, that's an hour and 10-minute car ride. That's not really a travel. I'll go Warriors, but I don't feel good about it.
Yeah. The Warriors have also been really bad at home this year.
Yeah.
Against the spread. They've been good overall, but they've been bad against the spread.
Yeah.
So I don't – I mean, I know it's low, but I really like how Houston's playing right now too. Dwight's been awesome. So.
Yeah. And then the snoozer of the night, Heat Thunder.
This one opened at Heat getting 3.5. And
it's getting?
Down, getting. They are down 3.5, and it's down to they are getting 2.5.
I feel like LeBron is a little angry with the MVP conversation. I think we're going to see a pretty special performance tonight. I'm going to go Heat.
I think he's probably pissed off about that last game.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be like, okay, Dwayne, I understand you're tired. I know you got a lot going on. Kind of going to need you now.
Right.
So I think that they know that after the All-Star break, they got to and after the Pacers lost, they're only a game back.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they can get to the number one seed in the East by next week.
Well, hot damn.
Yeah, but you know who's back?
Oh, Russ.
Mm-hmm.
Russ is back. Let Westbrook be back.
Yep.
Oh, that's fun. There were talks of like a minutes restriction, but I don't really know what those are. But hey, he's back. That's fun.
Yeah, there'll be a minutes restriction until Brooks says, okay, come out, and then Westbrook says no, and then that'll be the end of the minutes restriction.
So. Westbrook just, like, wags his junk at him, and that's
yeah, I got Miami. I like this one.
Yeah.
I think also with Westbrook coming back, I think it's hard to integrate new guys. I think it's difficult when a guy's been gone. We kind of saw early in the season that they had some trouble getting back to Russ being out there, and then we saw that they had some trouble when Russ went out initially. So
yeah, hopefully this game goes to overtime so I can see some of it, because I don't know how I'm going to peel myself away from Nuggets Bucks. They both start at the same time.
I wonder what the ratings are going to be on that game.
I think it's just going to be you.
The Olympics are going to get such a higher rating than.
The women's hockey replay is gonna just destroy it.
Just destroy it.
I think that's it. That was just an awful trade deadline.
Just wretched. Just I hate you, CBA, and I hate you, GMs, and the trade deadline's one of my favorite times of the year, and you ruined it. Dead. Hate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt.